Good morning. It is a Tuesday morning. We're with our political observer, Alan Chartok. Alan, EU leaders have thrashed out an $859 billion stimulus package. They describe the deal as a milestone that will shape how member states live with one another for years to come. Meanwhile, back in the U.S., the cases are soaring. U.S. lawmakers still remain far apart on a deal to provide more financial relief for Americans called the HEROES Act. We do see some positive news. An experimental vaccine has raised hopes for an effective weapon against the coronavirus, lifting financial markets. However, when it comes to the President of the United States, he's made a move to resume the news conferences, those briefings, as the Washington Post says, bad poll numbers push Trump back into the spotlight over coronavirus.
David, I have no doubt that that's what's going on. Here's the President of the United States who defied basic scientific wisdom and made a big case out of not wearing a mask. He didn't wear it as an example for the American people. He didn't call for it. It's a disgrace. We know it's a disgrace. So now his poll numbers are down, down, and down. You can take your pick which of those you want. And as a result, you can just see those guys in their suits huddled around the president trying to figure out how to reverse all of that. So now they have the president saying, it's a patriotic duty to wear a mask. Now that makes me sick to my stomach, and I'm going to tell you why. Because there are tens and tens of thousands of people who have died as a result of this nonsense on his part about not wearing a mask. And frankly, I don't think anybody can trust one word he says, because it is so clear that he's doing it just out of political need as opposed to what's right. You have Andrew Cuomo going down south to Savannah, a wonderful city, and working with the mayor there and bringing his team down and talking about what needs to be done. And you have a governor of Georgia who says he's going to sue Mayor Bottoms of Atlanta on the basis that she had no right to call for mask wearing, even though he says he's for mask wearing. I think some of these Republican people, like the governor of Georgia, are so scared of the president that even though they have a view that is different from his, they want to maintain control and say, we're in charge. We get to say who wears a mask, not the mayor of a huge city. And that is another disgrace that we are seeing this morning. On top of all of this, we see polls that show that about half of Americans will not take the vaccine, or who say they won't right now. I believe I'm correct about that. That's terrible. I'm certainly going to take it when I have an opportunity to do it. And that's where we are. As a country, we have to pull together. It is so clear to me, whether it's clear to the electorate, that this president is just doing this because he has to, because things are in such bad shape. Who knows?
And as you point out, the base probably won't move from their position of support, even as mounting evidence comes out. For example, Michael Cohen's book to allege Trump made racist comments about Obama and Nelson Mandela. It's a lawsuit. Lawyers for the president's former personal attorney, says the Washington Post this morning, allege in a new court filing that he was sent back to prison as retaliation for his book plans.
Do I have any doubt about it? No, I don't, personally. I think that's probably what happened. This criminal justice system has become a personal plaything for the president. He pardons his friends. There is what at least looks like a suspicion that he put Cohen back into jail, or that his people did. It is, of course, Cohen's stupid. He gave them a reason by eating a meal out when he wasn't supposed to. Nevertheless, that's the way this guy operates. We say, the Supreme Court of the United States says, nobody is above the law. Well, not really. But we're not going to tell you you have to immediately release your taxes. You can go back to the lower courts and stall it out till after the election. Bad.
Well, and you have the prospect of this election coming up, and Joe Biden, former vice president, is, according to the Washington Post, looking at four black women for the ticket now. The presumptive Democratic presidential nominee stopped short of pledging to pick one of the women as his vice president. He's expected to conclude a months-long search in August.
Well, David, here's the deal. When you pick your vice president, especially when you're a man of his age or mine, you really do have to think about one thing above all, and that is, can that person take over if they have to be president of the United States. And I think that that criteria becomes very interesting because there are some people who clearly have not had that kind of experience that will allow them to do it. But I keep thinking of Harry Truman. You know, he was a bit of a schlep. He was a senator and he had had some experience in cleaning up government, but it turned out he was a hell of a president. But the American people have to be convinced that the vice presidential choice will be somebody who can carry it forward. And I think he has, since his criteria will be somebody who's a woman, somebody who's black, that you will see a number of people who fit the category of being able to rule. And that is where that choice really has to center. If he chooses somebody who does not meet that criteria, that will be bad news.
Bad news in the coming election also involves interference, most notably from Russia. You and I have talked about this over and over again, but the former vice president, presidential candidate Joe Biden, re-upped, saying he's putting Russia and other foreign governments on notice that he will act aggressively as president to counter any interference in U.S. elections. We know from intelligence that it's happening.
That's right, David. We know the Russians have been active. We know that the relationship with Trump, let's just say, is strange. Here's a president who refuses to say anything bad about Vladimir Putin, about the work that the Russians have done to corrupt our elections. So there are many people who conclude that it looks like Trump is in the pocket of Putin. And that he said, quote, he loved the Russians and he loves Putin. In the meantime, his own intelligence agencies are saying, these are bad people who are doing bad things, basically.
I'm a political observer. Alan Shartok. Thank you, Alan.
Thank you, David.